Sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi everyone, this is Lori Handlers, and you're tuned in to Sex and Happiness, the show about sex and happiness. I'm excited to be with you today. Today we're going to talk about advice that women get about dating. And, you know, at least 60% of my audience is women, so I want you to listen up. And men, I want you to listen to this too, because you may know women who get advice about dating. So, my guest today is Corey Weiner. And he wrote a book called Lion Taming because he feels that too many women settle. And he doesn't like that they settle. He resents it. He says that his book is about everything women are led to believe about dating. And mostly it's a con job by somebody selling something. His book is more about why everything women are led to believe about dating is people trying to sell something. And so, Corey, it is my pleasure to have you on the show. I'm just going to say a couple more things about you. Your bio says that you grew up among wildcats in a metaphoric jungle of South Florida. I can understand. It's a choppy terrain where dating Darwinism reigns supreme and single status has its inherent challenges. You are degreed in political affairs. You love talking economics, and you're a published lifestyle writer and former fashion model who has appeared in Men's Health. You live in Los Angeles, Houston, and South Florida, so you're very coastal. You're bi and middle coastal. Welcome to Sex and Happiness.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Lori.
Yeah, it's great to have you. I love the idea of lion taming. So first, let's find out, you grew up in South Florida, and you're a model, or you were a model, so that means that you've been a single man. Have you been a single man forever? Or were you married?
I've never been married, no. I've been a single man forever, yeah.
Okay, but you know a lot about women and dating.
I do.
How do you know that? From intuition or from interviewing a million women or what?
The latter. So the book came about with women in my life. I know enough of a sampling of women, 30s, 40s, 50s, 20s. And when I was coming up with the idea for the book, I surveyed them. I worked for the Nielsen Company for 5 years in a past life, so I understand how to put together data sheets and gather information objectively.
Wow, so you just objectified information. You gathered information from the women that you know in all these age groups. I know because I'm in my 60s, and I've never been married. There's many men that I've loved, but they definitely didn't match up to my standards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like a woman who could do everything. I have it all. I'm attractive. I do it all, whatever. And you know, I met people from time to time. For a while, it was great. But then, you know, it was never like who I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you must have a lot to say about that.
I do. Well, I think it's exceptional, meaning you're probably an anomaly. In general, I'm just guessing, we just met, if you were to survey your peers. And you know why that is, because societal pressure in our society dictates, like most women I know, like I said, having grown up in South Florida especially, but even the time I lived in L.A. and in the South, forget it. So in Houston, forget it. If you're 26 and you haven't fallen in love with the local guy who drives a pickup truck and started to procreate by the time you're 28, something's wrong with you. And God forbid you should want to run a career or, I don't know, go get another college degree or fly across the world or you know, build a sandcastle or whatever you want to do.
Right. It's true. The pressure is great. But you say in your very beautiful write-up about your book, Lion Taming, that the book is for women in their mid-30s and beyond. It's a dating book. And what you say basically is don't settle, discriminate, stay single if necessary. So I feel like I took your advice And I didn't even know you.
Yeah, it really sounds that way. I mean, not to say that one way or another, I guess in the last few years, my observation is real simple. It's like, I meet so many women, they're in their late 30s, and they get married, and it's almost like you hit a stopwatch, and you say, yeah, by the time you're 34, you're going to be divorced. And if you had a child, now you have an economic barrier to why people stay together. And sometimes it's like, if you can put a book out and you can tell women, yeah, there's a commercial every 10 minutes for Match.com, and these people are selling you hope, and you can get on the internet, and there's some hunky guy that you couldn't meet him at Whole Foods, the gym, your office, you didn't meet him at a, you know, whatever your hobbies are. You didn't meet him all week, but secretly there's some hunky guy on the internet waiting for you, and I don't like it. And so I put this book together, and like what I talk about, someone asked me, like, what do you mean by civilized snobbery? And, I mean, it's real simple, right? I say, be dismissive. Get rid of people. Most of the time you're talking to somebody, you should be perceptive enough to know within, like, 2 minutes, do I want to be talking to this person or not? And when I say civilized, I just mean you don't have to be mean to people. You can be very polite, but you can just say, hey, pleased to meet you, and get rid of people. And I know too many women who, like, they think they have to be polite, or they have nothing better going on, so they say, yeah, I'll go to dinner with you. Okay, it can't hurt. And then, you know, you get their phone call later on, and they're whining about, why am I dating this guy, and this was such a waste of my time, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I don't know, I figured I'd put it together in a nice, crispy read. And try to...
I can't wait to get my hands on it now. I just think it's wonderful. So let me just give the exact title for this. You call it a first ever next generation dating book. It's called Lion Taming, How Busy Professional Women Avoid the 7 Most Disappointing Suitors and Date Higher. It's wonderful. It's brilliant. I mean, I can tell that it's brilliant just by the way you're approaching it with me right now. I know many, many women who can benefit by this. Let's go to the problems. Let's go to the bottom lines, and then I want to hear from you about what are the things they can do to avoid this. But what's wrong with women?
Oh, that's a tricky one, because I don't want to act like I'm trying to be a tough guy. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. My whole thing is, without being paranoid, I feel like women today are very vulnerable, and they're almost victimized. So what I mean by that is, like, you go to the grocery store and you pick up a magazine, and there's a famous hot model on there. And then, so women today are like, lose weight. In South Florida, at least, in Beverly Hills, is like that. Make sure you get your nose done, get your boobs done, dye your hair, make sure it's perfect. You too can have hair like Jennifer Lopez. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with women. I just think they're looking for answers, and they're so into, like, self-help and reading a magazine, and then they go out and want to be like what they read about. And they're like in this competition, and I feel like they sell themselves short. And that's the whole gist of, that's my whole war cry, if you will. They kind of, they sell themselves short, and especially when it comes to dating, where they make it like their life's ambition. Let's just say like you said, you're successful, you're single. You have your, I read all about the butterfly program that you teach. It's like, how many women, though, like you, do you know? Probably, I would say, very few.
A handful.
You see, and the rest of them are probably either one of two things, right? They either say, gee, Lori, you know, in private, I wish I could be like you. You're so outgoing, and you're an entrepreneur, and you're such a dynamic person. And the rest of them are looking at you like, well, why don't you just, like, hang out and watch TV and cook for your husband, blah, 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 blah. And that's the whole, when I say woman sells herself short, that's all I mean, is that the whole push behind this book is like, you don't need self-help, and you don't need the woman in the magazine telling you how you should be, and you don't need a man's approval to feel good about yourself, and you don't need
to be whole.
Yeah,
or to be whole. Right. You can be whole and complete based on who you are.
Yes.
And that, you know, that's always been my message to people, whether they're, you know, whatever they're into. You know, it's funny, because when I was young, I'll just tell you, I never wanted to be, when I read Mark Twain, I wanted to be Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. I did not want to be Becky Thatcher.
Okay.
Like, I didn't want to stay home and wear an apron and cook and wait for these two boys to come home from their adventure and tell me what happened. Like, I wanted to be on the raft.
Well, yeah, you have that adventurer side to you. And there are women today that, I know a woman who's 37 years old. She's 5'10", very attractive, green eyes. She's a pediatrician. She lives in a $1 million house. She's very successful. She has a slight problem. And you would say, well, what do you mean she has a problem? She has a problem because she's very educated. And everybody's always telling her, oh, I'll introduce you to so-and-so. Oh, my God, you're a doctor and you work with kids. She's like the epitome of what, you know, a woman's supposed to be. It's very hard for her to date. Why would you think that is?
Because she's too educated, she's too beautiful, she's got too much on the ball, and most men don't.
That's right, and she's very down to earth. She is not one of these, like, what I call the Fort Lauderdale type, where they're educated, they work at they're a litigator, they make a bunch of money, but they want you to know it, where they're almost kind of snooty about it. She's so down to earth, it's ridiculous, and you're exactly right. She either will get introduced to an overgrown child, like a guy who wants to sit around and watch sports all day, and he's not going to stimulate her brain for more than 30 minutes, or men want to get into a competition with her over who's got the new Audi and whose house is bigger, mm-hmm. or they're just intimidated by her because she doesn't want to sit in a pool hall and drink beer.
Yeah, I get it. I've had that experience. So.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's a case study. And sometimes women mean well, your friends mean well, but it's like sometimes when friends meet a boyfriend, all of a sudden, they take it on as their little mini hobby. I know women have a tendency to do that, where they're always asking you, oh, I'll introduce you to Joe's friend or his roommate or this guy that he works with. We'll go out on double dates. It's almost like, if I'm making sense, women sometimes, they like their friends, but all of a sudden, they become guidance counselors, and they're all of a sudden asking you, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you with someone? I'll get you a date. Well, maybe you don't want to settle for so-and-so, and sometimes it can be lonely. Like you were saying earlier, you're successful, you make a great living, you have a nice life, you have friends. Sometimes it's lonely because you don't have peers, because most are, maybe that's not their lifestyle. They don't have it takes guts, that's all I'm saying, to be a successful
person. It takes guts to not cave into the pressure of what society says you're supposed to do by a certain age or what, and your biological clock.
Yeah.
It definitely takes guts. It takes courage and fearlessness, for sure.
Yeah, and I hate, you know,
and some heartbreak and some loneliness and all the rest of it. I mean, it takes everything.
Yeah, but I say, like, I'm not saying people should just live in a shoe and be old bag ladies. Not at all. I'm not a radical. The book's very pragmatic, but it's like, you hit it right on the head, Lori. I don't know. I've seen too many women in my life, hence the book. They get into their 30s, and then something didn't work out with one guy, and then they feel vulnerable or something, and they say, oh, my God, I have to have a baby right now. And they get with some second-rate guy who's like, I play golf on Sunday and I sit around, and they will be divorced in 4 years. And my only hope is, I hope you didn't procreate 2 weeks
right.
after the marriage, because now you have a
right.
real socioeconomic problem with when children get in the game.
Well, we're going to take a little break here, Corey, and I love where you're coming from. I want to talk also about men, like what's wrong with men, but we'll get to that. And I want to get some of the tips that you're giving women in this book. So when we come back, we will talk about that. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I am interviewing Corey Weiner, and he wrote a book called Lion Taming, How Busy Professional Women Avoid the 7 Most Disappointing Suitors and Date Higher. And this book sounds fascinating to me. Of course, he didn't write it in time for me. I had to fend for myself, but we are going to talk about how the rest of you out there can benefit from getting a copy of this book. So we'll be right back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want,
please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Hey, do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. And there's so much more. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy, and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. These are all topics that can be covered. When? October 11th to the 18th. Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica.
We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I'm introducing you to author Corey Weiner. He has written a book called Lion Taming, and his underlying premise in this book is that too many women settle. Roughly, he says, 90% of the dating pool for women in their 30s and beyond is a disappointment, to say the least. Being attractive, successful, and knowing it can be lonely. He's advising women about this, and you know, women know this. They're pretty familiar with it, and they do settle often, and sometimes they're very sorry about that. I have some friends, by the way, Corey, who got sperm donors, and then they were very successful women, and they chose to raise the child alone and not the sperm donor man have anything to do with it.
Hmm.
What are your thoughts about that?
I don't know. I'm certainly not qualified, really, to... I don't know. I hope that they got good genetics and nice white teeth and good bone structure in the face, I guess.
They did.
But
they looked for Harvard graduates who had really good health, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow.
I know three women, in fact, who did this on purpose.
Oh, wow.
You know, they went looking for a particular man. They didn't want to be with him. They knew they didn't. They didn't tell him that. You know, and they had sex with him until they got pregnant, and then they sent him away. And I thought that was a terrible thing.
Oh.
I personally didn't like the idea of it, but I do know women who that's what they did when they took matters into their own hands.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I guess the future, that remains to be seen. I'm a big fan of like 100-year-old Freudian psychology, and in the book I get into the biology, hence the name Lion Taming. I talk all about neuroscience and animal kingdom biology and all these things. So the only thing I can say on that is I just hope You brought up a good point, and stop me at any time, but this is only one thing before we get into men and some of the tips, because I think your listeners will love that.
That's what I want. I want them to love it.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I can say about that is one thing, and don't shoot me for it, but it's like, see, that's the big misconception with women before we get into men. When you, a typical woman who's like doing well and she, you know, she drives a BMW and she's got a nice life and a gym membership and wears Manolo Blahnik shoes, right away, oh, I want to find a sperm donor, quote-unquote, like you said. I'm going to get a Harvard graduate, meaning higher socioeconomic status man. But it doesn't mean that the genetics on that guy, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have, you know what I mean? Like, he could have a cocaine problem. He could have a predisposition to addiction. He could have all sorts of problems. But sometimes women are just like, well, I'll get an upscale guy. I'm going to go to the Ritz-Carlton and get an upscale guy. Sometimes
right.
I feel like women shoot themselves in the foot with the whole expectations management aspect of it. And I get into that, but not until towards the end of the book where I talk mm-hmm. about you don't want to go out with a schlepper. That's slang. You don't want to go out with a guy who's insolvent, but you also don't need sometimes, like coming from South Florida, you don't also need to be like, who's the richest guy in the room? My cousin's like that. Who's the richest guy in the room? My cousin always gets women because he's the first one to throw down a Rolex watch. Once his mouth opens, it changes.
I hope your cousin doesn't listen to this show, Corey.
I know my aunt would disown me.
Look, I know, like, women get accused of being gold diggers. I think that's the phenomenon you're talking about here. But I think a lot of times, I'm not defending this either, because I also don't find that very appealing. But women look to strike a deal.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, women look to strike a financial deal. You know, if I'm going to have a kid with this person, even if our relationship doesn't last, I'm going to mine this gold mine for all I can, because what else is he good for? I mean, women do need to take responsibility for that.
Mm.
And so, you know, the guys who throw down the Rolex watches, they may be what you call, they're not schleppers maybe in the pocketbook, but they're schleppers in the mind or in the sensuality or in the whatever. I mean, and I think people have to take a case-by-case example. I tell people when they study Tantra that they're going to find their beloved in the most unexpected place, and it's probably going to be the most unexpected person, not the person they would have been looking for.
Yeah. You know, bingo.
Because the true chemistry, like when they open their heart and they can actually feel what's going on in their body, they can feel true chemistry with someone that they never expected to feel chemistry with, based on they don't have a Rolex and they don't have, you know, they don't drive a Mercedes and they aren't the highest spender in the joint, but they'll find someone who will be more fitting to them because they're looking with their intuition now, not with what the magazines say.
Well, and you hit it, and I think that's why, if I could add, that's why your Butterfly Tantra program is probably very successful, and why I practically stalked you to get onto your show. It's because you said it. Nobody wants to live in a teepee. Nobody's suggesting you should just, like Bon Jovi says, we're living on a prayer, you're a dishwasher. Nobody's suggesting that. But that's a far, you know, on the other side of the pendulum. It's what you just said, is that in today's day and age, with apps and smartphones and everybody moves so fast, you meet people sometimes and it's like they're professionals at dating, guys and girls. And I hope we get into the guy thing in a minute, because I think your audience is going to get a kick out of some of my theoretical hypotheses. But if that makes sense, it's exactly why your program's so popular, because you're trying to teach people again to feel and not be so grass is greener, like they're running in a track race. And I dated five guys this week. Eventually, what you just said, the romance, the serendipity, I'm going to touch your hand and all of a sudden I'm going to get this lightning bolt up my spine and I'm going to want to lick your neck. And that goes away because everybody's moving so fast. And I got 15 dates on the blue this week, and that's why your program, because you're trying to show people, relax and breathe. Does this person make you grr or not?
Exactly, and if they don't, they should stay away. Many unlikely candidates have met in my program.
Mm-hmm.
People who never in their wildest dreams thought they would be with this person.
See?
Have met in my programs, and they're together. I mean, I was just in Philadelphia. One of the couples that met in one of my programs, they just celebrated their 10th year anniversary.
Nice.
And they're not marrying, by the way. They've decided they're fiancés for life.
Oh, okay. Hey, it works for Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, and they're both very well-off famous people, and good for them.
Exactly. So, well, let's talk about men. Let's move. Like, so what are some of your theories about men, and how should women avoid this?
I got plenty of them. The easiest one is, like, in general, men are in the Lion Kingdom. They're real simple. They sleep 20 hours out of the day, or they would, like real lions do. And they like to procreate, and they like to hunt. They like to eat, and they like to, you know what. And it's not that much different in society. You know, you have...
You can say, you know what. You can say, have sex.
Okay.
You know.
I don't want to, you know, sometimes my mouth, I don't want to offend your audience. But
this is an internet show. They've heard everything.
They like to cohabitate, and they like to eat. And humans are not, I mean, take away all of our smartphones, and that's the whole, when I talk about Freudian psychology and Maslow's hierarchy of needs and all these things, men are real simple like that. Dr. Gray wrote that book 30 years ago about Men Are from Mars, and I'm not, my book doesn't really get into all that stuff. The people reading my book are already sophisticated enough, they've heard that before. But men, the book outlines the seven men, right? Hence the term, seven most disappointing suitors. And it's like, some guys have a lot of what I call juice. They are very good looking, and they can talk the talk, and they can hang, and they come out throwing that big league curveball. What I mean by that is a lot of guys put in 4 to 6 months, they're great. They have that cute smile, nice white teeth. They want to go to dinner all the time. And after like a few months, after they're already sleeping with you, all of a sudden they change. That dynamic changes, and the guy's turns into either a slob or he's not as nice as he might have been. In the book, I talk about, you know, I have code names for all the seven categories. Each get their own code name. You take a guy like Mr. Quicksand. Mr. Quicksand is funny. I get a lot of reviewers who will email me and they're laughing because Quicksand is like their brother or their cousin or some guy they dated in high school. But it's like, yeah. Meet this guy, all of a sudden he's so lonely. He wants to lure you in. He wants to bond with you too quickly, and it's weird. Quicksand is like something happened to him. He hates his job, or he's sad because this, or he hurt his back and now he's got to ice it, or he's always got some story. And the idea behind it is, I know some guys like this, they're trying to get sympathy out of you so you can bond with them, and it's like a way to get you to like me. I don't have the juice to just hit on you. Like, hi, Lori, how are you? You're attractive. I like your curly hair. You want to hang out with me? So a lot of guys they come in like Sidewinder missiles, and they all have their own shtick, if you will. And the book kind of breaks down each one so you can identify and see it coming. Because some women are going to like, women are going to be like, I don't have a problem with that. I'm like that. But for the rest of them, I don't want women to be conned or misled.
Well, a lot of women like projects.
A lot of women like projects, yes, ma'am. And they feel, well, this is a fixer-upper. I'll give you a quick example. In the book I go into, like, if you think your life is this reality show, what's the show, American Idol? You start awarding points. Well, I guess I could clean this guy up with the right haircut and a suit. I could make him stand up straight, and that's why you have a lot of women. You ever go to the mall? I go to the mall a lot. I blow money. I collect wingtips. You see a lot of women shopping for their significant other? The day should ever come when a woman is going to the mall buying my clothes, like, I'll kill myself. But a lot of women are, oh, I'm going to get him dressed. I'm going to read Esquire magazine, and I'm going to fix him up, and we're going to make him wear this, and like what you said, projects. So you have Quicksand, you have Iceman from the movie Top Gun, where Iceman, in his mind, he's like the coolest, hottest, baddest thing. He knows everybody at every party, and he's so charming, it almost wants to make you sick. And so, what can I say? Every guy kind of has his own style of how he's trying to get that end result, which is like, I want to be with a girl. I want to get a girl.
Right.
Some guys are sincere. You know, the whole book is not a black hole. Life's over, kill yourself, nothing like that. Book is, not at all, Lori. If you train your eye to understand to whom you speak and what they're saying and how they look at you, and if they send you stupid text messages on a phone, you should know in 3 minutes what you're tangling with. And you can either tame that lion, or you can say, hey, this ain't my cup of tea. Nice meeting you, buddy. But it's all over, and there's no crying or drama, or you're not going to get misled down the road so you feel like you wasted time. That's the gist.
Well, Corey, you know, I agree with you. I just want to tell you that. I don't have a problem with anything that you're saying, and I think that I basically get the bottom line of what you're saying is that women should train themselves to be less gullible and keep their vulnerabilities to themselves in the matter of meeting men, and train their eye and their heart and maybe their gut to go, I shouldn't step here. This is not a place where I should venture. I shouldn't pass and move on. If it's a numbers game, I should just pass until I meet someone that really rocks my world.
Yes, with one caveat. Can I slip something into the end of that? With one caveat, which is I don't condone, or I don't think it should be a numbers game. Like, I love what you were talking about with your Tantra groups and with your butterfly program. See, I like the whole idea that we used to be like as a society. I might lean over to pick up a scarf that the girl in the restaurant behind me picked up, and we lock eyes and we hit it off. Or in real life, like how I met my girlfriend. My ex-girlfriend is in the book that I used to live with in Los Angeles. She's wonderful. I met her by freak luck. I was in a very nice restaurant at the Bellagio Hotel, and I just kind of leaned over, and she was taking notes, probably getting ready for a meeting. And it was, oh, no, hello, like, boom. And I think people have gotten away from that because everything now is so automated.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. And so go ahead, the thing about the numbers game.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there. I'm not condoning speed dating. There was a book that came out 6 months before mine, and the guy's very famous. He's got his own show, and someone said, oh, your book is like this. No. I absolutely, positively refuse anyone who is writing any book or suggesting, who tells women, well, for the greater good, which is to achieve your goal, which is you want to find love, you have to manipulate yourself. or anyone else. So the beauty of what I'm talking about, my platform, is I know what you want. A lot of people want what you want. I refuse to have any woman say, well, I'm going to have to change how I feel and act. I want people to be yourself. And if anybody, exactly. and people should either like you, and you will, you know, you be yourself. And if you have to change yourself or manipulate someone else to get what you want, it ain't worth it. And I'm tired of books. You need to act like this to get what you want. Like, I want women to be themselves, and they don't need to put on some show to, even though it's supposed to be pitched as, oh, but it's worth it. You're going to get what you want. I don't want people to manipulate themselves or anyone else.
Well, thank you so much, Corey. I appreciate that, and I agree with you 1,000,000%. And that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. I just meant numbers, because if they didn't meet someone at this party, they need to go to another one. If they didn't meet someone in this hotel, they need to be out. They can't be reclusive.
Yes, ma'am.
They have to go out there and meet people and stop leading with their heart on their sleeve, actually lead with their brain and their gut.
Dead on, like the story you told me about the couple that met, and you said they were the least likely. I think you said they weren't. They came with an open mind, and it just kind of happened. And that's where you get that butterfly, that thunder, in your
exactly.
It,
I mean, I said to her, well, we were out to dinner on Valentine's Day. One of the people that was teaching with me, and they joined us after class one night, and then he just joined for a few minutes, and he had to go pick up one of his kids. And he kissed her goodbye, and I said, he likes you. And she said, no, he doesn't. I said, yeah, he likes you. I see that he likes you.
Mm-hmm.
And they started going out, and it's 10 years now.
Good.
So, you know, sometimes you have to just wake somebody up to the fact that that person, and they're both very successful people, and they've manifested a lot of things in their lives, and all of a sudden they were right in my presence, and I went, this guy likes you. Open your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, we're out of time, Corey. So I want to give the line for your book again, and then I want to tell people how they can get it. So, Corey Weiner, he wrote Lion Taming, Because Too Many Women Settle. The name of the book is Lion Taming, How Busy Professional Women Avoid the 7 Most Disappointing Suitors and Date Higher. And you gave us a few of those, the quicksand guy and the other one. So how do they get the book?
The book is on iTunes from Apple and Sony Reader, and you can go on to Barnes & Noble, and if you have the right device, you can go on to Amazon. A lot of book clubs, even though book clubs are usually fiction, I'm getting orders from book clubs where they want to discuss it. I even Skyped in on one book club because the people, you know, the readers wanted to like Q&A with me back and forth and go over certain things, and I got such a
great
that. So on my website, hypothesisbooks.com, you can get more info, and all of those retailers carry the book as well.
All right, let's spell this because some people don't know how to spell hypothesis. So it's hypothesisbooks.com, hypothesisbooks.com. Corey Weiner, thanks for your opinions about it. Thanks for your observations about it. Thanks for polling people and finding out just what women need to hear, and especially that you love women in their authenticity. That's very refreshing. Very, very refreshing.
Good.
Everybody, please stay tuned. We're going to take a break now, but when we come back, I'm going to be interviewing,
interestingly enough, a man about romance.
We'll be right back.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? Get the best from relationships? Attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers. Only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Wow, sex magic. Laurie Handler's sex magic.
The workshop is really, really amazing. And we were able to create and generate this intense energy in a space of safety and love and abundance. And the magic really happens when she is free to let go.
That's pretty creepy.
That shouldn't be called sex magic. It should be called sex miracle.
That she's the strongest facilitator that I've had the experience with, and there was not a moment when I didn't feel safe or not supported. She was with us individually and as a group the entire time, so that allowed me to go deeper than I've ever had.
Where my lover got to come and orgasm over and over and over again. She was loud as anything, and she was like a wild animal, untamed and free.
It just will bring you into such deeper places within yourself so that you're able to share with your partner.
Sex magic. I'm still feeling it. It was beautiful.
What an amazing course, if I say so myself. But of course, you've just heard the testimonies. For more information, go to butterflyworkshops.com, click on workshops, and find out more about sex magic. It's magical. So if you'd like to experience sex magic and really, really treat yourself, I invite you to experience the Sex Magic Vacation Retreat in Peru. Here's what you'll want to know. The dates are April 23rd to May 3rd, and the intensive is 7 days, followed by 3 days of touring sacred sites, including Machu Picchu. The cost is $2,200, and if you register now, you'll receive $200 off the registration price for this amazing retreat. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and click on workshops to get more information. Or write me, sexandhappiness@gmail.com for more information.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and that was a kind of interesting and exciting first half where my guest was talking about how women are fooled a lot by men, or they fool themselves, actually, and then they settle for men that aren't really for them, and then they end up getting divorced 3 years later or 4 years later like clockwork, and many times they already have a child because they were motivated to be with this man because of their biological clock. And that was a pretty interesting perspective from a man, I thought. And my guest now is going to give us men's perspective on dating and on women and on how he is and what he sees about that. So it can't be any more interesting today than hearing men's perspectives on this kind of thing. My guest is Clint Piatelli. He's a writer, and he has a very exciting blog called Muscle Heart. And the blog is about sex and romance and mostly coming from your heart. And he has a lot of other hot topics and even has been featured on my blog, on my website, butterflyworkshops.com. So welcome back to Sex and Happiness, Clint. It's a pleasure to have you.
It's a pleasure to be back, Lori. Thank you.
You're welcome. And, you know, recently you and I were talking, and you said to me that you had some new perspectives on dating and that you had really changed your outlook about it, and it had to do with your participation in some programs. Like, I think one was the Landmark Forum, and also might have been my tantra courses, I don't know, but yep. You said you had a whole revival in your attitude and your feelings about your dating perspective. So what's new?
I think it's more of a shift in my perspective regarding romance, not so much dating, but definitely romance, Laurie. Dating a little bit, but I've always liked to date. I've always thought dates were fun, so I still feel that way now. But it's more the romance angle. And when I started coming from my heart, when I became more emotionally available, the romance in my life blossomed. And more importantly, the romance in myself blossomed. I looked at romance more as a really beautiful thing between a couple, as opposed to the more egocentric, macho, male-driven mentality of romance is okay, but it, you know, sometimes it's kind of silly, or you don't want to get too romantic or too sappy. You know how that whole game guys play in their head go about romance. But once I started coming from my heart and opened myself up, romance just became a really beautiful element in the relationships that I was in and going forward, that it wasn't missing before. I've always been a romantic man, but as Spinal Tap would say, I turned it up to 11 once I opened my heart up. Romance became a much more dynamic, beautiful, expansive element in the relationship.
So let me see if I understand you. Coming from a perspective, I mean, the way I can understand it is that there were certain men educated that romance was sissy. Like, certainly, I mean, I know,
yeah.
Like, where I grew up, men were very romantic, and they were great jocks, and they danced,
yep.
And they did everything. I mean, there's places in the United States, at least, but probably around the world, where men are trained, you know, not to dance and
sure.
not to
sure.
do sissy things
yeah,
like, if they're, you know, if they're muscle and brawn guys.
Yeah, like America, yeah. Like most of America, or a lot of Americans, certainly.
Yeah, a lot of Americans. So they drink beer, they watch sports, and they don't get romantic. They say they don't watch girly movies. They don't go to romance movies. I mean, it's like a stereotype.
Totally.
But it's totally found. I mean, whenever I meet a guy who can't dance, I think, like, where did you grow up? Where I grew up, everyone who was a jock, they danced too, you know, and they drank beer and watched sports, but they also loved to dance and they loved to be romantic. So
yeah, it's not an either or thing, Laura. You can be well rounded. I was never a good dancer until I got older, and I taught myself to dance because I like to dance. I'm a drummer, so I've got great rhythm, but I didn't dance growing up in high school because I wasn't good at it. But when I got older, like I said, I just danced more, and I became better from dancing more. But it's a wonderful way to express yourself, a great way to meet women, and a hell of a lot of fun.
And women love men who dance.
Amen to that. I'm with
So good. I'm glad that you get that. So okay. So I just wanted to put in perspective, you know, or see if I could really grasp what you were talking about. And now you've had like a heart opening experience.
Yep.
Which allows you to be more romantic, meaning are you writing poetry or were you?
All of that stuff, Laurie. Basically, the a lot of romance is expressing the passion, love, care, attention you have for the person you're with in a creative way, in a heartfelt way, in an authentic way, in a unique way, in your way, in a way that works in the relationship. And when I started doing more of that, again, I always did some of it, but I always kept a little bit back. I never let myself go too far over the edge because it was, again, there was that ego thing. It was sissy or it was, you know, unmasculine or don't let her know you care too much. Don't let her know. God forbid. Don't let her know how crazy you are about her, how beautiful you think she is, how sexy you think she is. Tell her that. And it wasn't a conscious thing, Lori. It wasn't like I thought about this. It was more of an unconscious, show her you love her, show her you care, be romantic, but don't give her the store.
Right.
Now I'm about, give her the store. Give her the store today. Give her it tomorrow. You know what? The store is endless. The store doesn't run out of products. The store, it's like your heart. It doesn't run out of passion, juice, energy, love. It's not a quantifiable thing. It's not a limited thing. It's a limitless thing. The more you give, the more you get. And that's a whole different perspective than, well, I have this romance bank, and I'm going to doll it out, you know, as I see fit in the right situation to get what I want and to create the right relationship. No, it's a bank it's an endless bank that you give. The more of it you give away, the more of it you get, the more you create. That's been the big attitude shift in my life.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I'm like sitting here, I'm not crying, but I have tears in my eyes because it's a lesson that people learn pretty late in life. Like they don't learn it right away.
Yep.
They really learn the game playing.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that's exactly what my last guest was talking about. There's so much game playing and there's so much masking and attitude, and then there's nothing behind it. You know, there's nothing to, yeah, somebody's driving a Ferrari or somebody's wearing a Rolex, and so what?
Right, right. What's
behind the Rolex, behind the Ferrari, there's no character development.
Right, yeah.
And what you're saying is you all of a sudden had a heart-opening experience. Well, it's not all of a sudden either because you worked on yourself, and I know that.
Yeah, it developed, it grew over time. Yeah, exactly.
And you were seeking that.
Yes.
So now it seems to me that you're saying you're going to give who you are no matter what. And what how I translate that in my practice of being a Tantra teacher and also just my practice in life is that you're most likely or way more likely now and probably great probability that you're actually going to meet the person of your dreams because you're no longer cloaked,
right.
guarded,
right.
you're not in lockdown, you don't have a shield on your heart, you're not all that stuff.
Yep.
That you learned to do as a boy.
Absolutely. And really, Lori, that's the only way to be happy in a relationship is to lay it out there and be who you are at 100% and always be looking to be more of yourself and get to know yourself deeper and get to know the other person deeper and develop the relationship more. And it's not it's a constant growth process that it's a beautiful thing just to engage in. It's again, it's not a finite thing, and it's going to be a real desire. And unfortunately, a lot of men, especially in this country, it's not a cultivated thing. It's something we don't see a lot on television. We don't see in the media. It's changing. I think we're getting more of that now, but it's been a long time coming, and we still have a long way to go until it gets to a point where there's a real sense of romance and giving from a lot of men. In relationships, you know, breaking down that stereotype or that the teachings of putting up the wall and not showing too much. And I love to just gush affection and presence and love and all. And I'm a very creative guy, so I do some really creative, kooky stuff with the women I'm with. And
well, don't give that away yet because I want to ask you about that in the next part of the show. Let everybody be at the edge of their chair because, you know, at least 40% of my listeners are men, and I love to give them tips about how to be. But I want it to be authentic. So, and I know when you're talking to me, I know how authentic this is from you. Yeah. I want you to give us some suggestions and some ideas and some of the ways that you create romance in your life.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, it's great. So we're going to take a little break here with that said.
Great.
And when we come back, we're going to be finding out from Clint Piattelli exactly how he goes about romancing, some of the creative things that he does, because he is very, very creative. And I love to give men different ideas about that, about creating romance, because I think they need the ideas. They've been conditioned, as we said earlier, in the stereotype, to not give like that.
Yeah.
It's really critical and important. And we're not trying to turn you all into a bunch of pansies either.
No.
So please stay tuned. We'll be right back with Sex and Happiness, and we'll continue on with my guest, Clint Piattelli, who is a writer and has a blog called Muscle Heart, and we'll hear more about that. So stay tuned.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lati Han, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lati Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lati Han CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Eroticos Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads its way back around to other foods, but all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends. And I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers. So your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm interviewing Clint Piatelli, who has a blog called Muscle Heart, and it's spelled exactly the way it sounds, muscle, MuscleHeart.com. And he writes about sex and romance and what it means to come from your heart. And it's those pretty hot topics these days because there are so many magazines out there that tell you how to play games. So I like the idea that Clint is telling us how to come from your heart, and that's not a game.
Nope.
Not at all.
No.
So we left off saying that you had some creative ways, but before we get into that, I want to talk about this. You know, I think the fear is of if you're romantic as a man, you seem to lose an aspect of masculinity.
Yeah, it's emasculating. The stereotype is it's emasculating, correct.
So I want to put that right and say that I know many romantic men and men who give a lot and are creative and give those kinds of things, and they can be just as much in their male polarity, which I liken more to Tarzan. I like the Tarzan image.
Yeah, me too. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, so, I mean, they can be just as built and as, you know, bodybuilding and as macho in a certain masculine way, protective and caring and also strong and powerful and on purpose and still have a romantic streak to all of that. And that doesn't cost them one iota of their masculinity.
No, in fact, Lori, it actually bolsters it. One of the things that I learned as I got older, one of the shifts that I made is I love the idea of taking care of the woman I'm with, not in a codependent way, but in a way, in a real archetypal male-female way where the male takes care of the woman in some ways and the woman takes care of the male in other ways. You take care of each other. It's interdependent. It's not codependent. But that end of the romantic part of taking care of a woman in a beautiful way is, to me, incredibly masculine. And incredibly romantic. So it's not a polarity. It's not an either or. It's a both. It's a wonderful meshing of romance and masculinity.
Okay, great. Yeah. I look at it a lot of times from the David Data aspect, which he says that in order to have super hot sex and super fire in a relationship, even if the woman is the president of a company and conducts herself
in her male polarity in the boardroom,
yep.
that when she comes home to be in the bedroom, she has to get into her feminine aspect in order to produce the sparks needed in the male, to, for him to be in the male aspect, even if he's the guy who stays at home and raises the kids.
That's right. Well put.
You know, so David Data is kind of an expert on that, and although there's, you know, he's not an expert on everything, that he happens to be an expert on, that in order for flames to be stoked, and even if it's a gay couple, one of them has to be in one aspect and the other one has to be in the other aspect to make flames. Now, they could switch.
Sure.
That's the energy of union. That's the energy of the Tao. That's the energy of Yab Yom. That's the energy of Tantra. Everything is created by male-female union,
yep.
but it takes male and female to be in, solidly in their polarity.
Yep. Yep.
So that's where I was coming from. Now, you said that you have some really creative ideas about this, and I'm assuming that you do. And I've had a few people on before talking about creative things like buy flowers but not red roses, buy 11 yellow roses and one pink, you know,
yep.
things like that.
Sure. Yep.
So if you can weigh in on that, that would be a fantastic gift to the listeners. What are you cooking up for romance? What would you cook up these days?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things I love to cook up is spontaneity. In other words, I'll be holding hands with my woman, and I will get this urge to just hug her and kiss her and whisper something in her ear or bite her ear or give her a little tickle, make her laugh. Something spontaneous. Let her energy infuse you. Let her energy spur you to some spontaneous act of romance. Now, it can be something very soft. It can be something very silly. It can be something very loving. It can be something very sexy, very hot, or very silly. It's all part of the romantic picture. So one of the things I would encourage men to do, especially, is spontaneous. Be spontaneous. Let that energy of your excitement, your love for her, she's got these great boots on. So let's say she has great boots on. You know, go bite the boot, go grab the boot, go kiss the boot, go lift her up and put her, bring her in your arms and walk her around her, or put her on your shoulders or something. Do something that expresses your particular spontaneous act of affection and love for the woman you're with. And women do the same thing. Be spontaneous with each other. That's one thing I would say would be a huge romantic shot in the arm for any relationship, spontaneity.
Excellent.
Yeah. The other thing I would say is we're all creative, we're all unique. Be really in touch with your own creative spirit, your own unique spirit, your own unique power. And use that and tap into that when you're being romantic with the person you're with. In other words, what excites you? What do you know excites her? One of the things that I find very romantic is music. Now, it can be soft, romantic, quote-unquote romantic music, or it can be heavy metal. It doesn't matter, and for me it's both, depending on the mood, depending on the situation. Use music in your lovemaking. One of the things I love to do, Lori, is one of the creative things I've done that I find very romantic is you sit alone with your partner, and you light some candles, and you drink some wine, and you put on some music, but you both pick songs that mean something to you. So I pick a song, I play it for both of us, we listen to it, and then I talk about why this song is special to me. And she gets to know a little bit more about me, and she does the same thing. You do that a couple of times, maybe with songs you've both never heard before, and you get a deeper understanding of the person and what's important to them, and you sort of get a glimpse into maybe pieces of their heart that you didn't see before. I find that very romantic. That's my own creative spirit because I – music, very romantic. We all have these creative juices in us that need to be stoked and need to be nurtured and need to be drank by the other person. Don't keep all that juice for yourself. You know, spill it out all over the relationship and let them suck it down. That's another thing I would say. Tap into your creative juices that way.
Okay, that was great. The thing about the music is wonderful. Now, I want to talk to you specifically. You and I had a conversation about money.
Yes.
And I think we should have that conversation about money, like who pays, how much do they pay, like that. Because I think in this time and day where feminism came in and the women's movement came in and women were struggling for equal pay and whatever, and then women kind of took it pretty far and they said, okay, not only are we
having equal pay, but we want to equally everything. Like, we're going to pay for this and we're going to pay for that. I know that that's like a huge mixed message these days. Nobody knows when to pay for anything,
right,
and
right.
How much to spend on romance and, yeah. and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty for being one of the people who said, I just want to say, I just was recently in a council where we were talking about how men are confused these days.
Yes.
And I remember saying to a man at a bar, don't light my cigarette. I don't smoke anymore, thank goodness. But in the days that I smoked, I remember saying, don't light my cigarette. You think these don't work? And I would hold my hands up.
You know, Ram!
Or don't open my car door. I can get out.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, that is a mixed message. Okay.
You know, well, now I'm exactly the opposite. I love to be romance, and I love a man to open my car door, and I have other things to light. I don't light cigarettes, you know, but I like to be lit, you know, like
yep.
light my fire.
Yeah, literally, ba-dum-bum, yeah.
Talk to me about men's gestures that also include money. Who pays?
Right.
How do you demonstrate it? I have some specific feelings. I'll just tell you my feelings. When I was online dating, which I'm not anymore, but when I was online dating, if I liked someone and he didn't offer to pay for my tea, we're talking about a cup of tea at Starbucks, sure. I didn't see him again. Because I felt like if I liked him and he liked me, he should show me that first gesture by paying for my tea.
Yep.
If I didn't like him, I instantly grabbed the check just for the tea, or I bought his too, because I didn't want any. I felt like letting someone buy me a cup of tea showed a gesture of, I like you. There's a possibility. And if I
sure.
paid for it myself, that was like cutting any kind of tie of anything. That's like a really simplistic way to put it, but yeah. I think there's a way that a woman who likes a man expects a man to be a sport, at least to start.
Yep.
So tell me your thoughts on that.
Well, it's funny, Laurie, because I have recently, I'd say over the past couple of years, completely switched my attitude about paying for women. I used to be, and part of it was a mixed message thing that women would give you, that they want to be independent, they want to be assertive and stuff, and then you would, so I assumed that also meant in the money area. And also part of it had to do with my own hang-ups about money and not wanting to feel like a bank, because I grew up with money. And, you know, people can take advantage of you when you have money. And I was always hyper-vigilant about that with women. So some of it was my stuff, and some of it was the mixed messages I got from women. Well, my attitude now about it has changed completely, because now I really like to pay for the woman I'm with. And it is something that in a relationship, at some point, you're going to have that discussion, that money discussion with your partner. However, I would say that what I love to do and what I've learned to do and be okay with is pay for everything and not feel like I'm being taken advantage of. If I like someone enough, I want to pay. I want to pay for the woman. I want to buy them stuff. I want to show my affection that way. That's not the only way, and I don't want that to become synonymous with, well, the more I spend on you, the more I love you. You can basically neglect me in the rest of your life, but just
not.
That was part of the male fear. That was part of my fear. I didn't want you to think that the way I care about you is just to spend money on you. And with some dynamics in relationships when I was younger, that became sort of the rolling dynamic. And I rebelled against that, because that's not the only way that I would show that I cared about a person. And I didn't want that impression to be translated that way.
Got it.
But now, and I had a discussion with an ex-girlfriend one time, and she said this to me, and I was really floored by it, but it really affected me. It really sunk in with me, and I really got it. She was a very independent woman, and she said to me one day, I want to be taken care of. And I could not reconcile the two, because I'm like, how can you want to be taken care of, and also not only are you independent, you make a point of being independent. You are proud of being independent, and you
exactly.
You let me know how important it is for you to be independent. Okay, I got it. And then you say, I want to be taken care of. Well, at the time, in that moment, I was completely confused by that statement. Now I understand what she was talking about. And not long after that, I got what she was saying. In fact, I would say within a month, I had completely shifted my attitude about how a woman looks at being taken care of with money and with care and affection and that protection that's in our DNA, Laurie.
Exactly. So good. I'm glad that you saw that. Yes, she could be very, very independent, and she could be dominant. But then,
yeah, just like,
there, you have to find a place in her where she could be vulnerable because that's what she wants to be with you.
Exactly.
And that's how you care for her. And some of that has to do with money, and it has to do with so many things. Just a stroke across the face, just to saying, you know, I really get you. You're really safe with me.
Yes.
You know, whatever, all those things.
And I think for this woman, for a lot of women, being able to say to me, I want to feel taken care of, having me pay for stuff is one way, not the only way, but that's one way where she feels that she's being taken care of. And that makes
right.
that helps her feel safe. If she feels safe, she's going to be vulnerable. She's going to be more giving. So you've got to create that container. And you've got to be open, guys, to doing that and not feeling like I did for a long time, I'm being taken advantage of. I don't feel that way anymore.
Exactly.
I feel the exact opposite.
It's so good that you came to that. You know, here's the thing, and I've said this to men in my classes. You can use your creativity for a really long time, and still I feel that men, unless they have money and are able to do that, like they need to make some money. I don't care if it's, you know, you go to the local diner.
Yep.
If a man doesn't have money, he doesn't feel okay in himself.
Yep. Right.
He has to use his creativity, but he also has to make money. He has to make some money so he can. It's something about money is synonymous with balls. I'm not in a male body. I don't get the chemistry, but I know that men who don't have any don't feel as good as men who do have some. They don't have as many options, and that there's something about, you know, not having balls or cojones or nerve or assertion or whatever it is.
Yep.
And that's all part of it. So I'm glad that you came to that in yourself. I'm glad she said that to you.
Yeah.
And that you got it. You know, I'm not talking, you don't have to be a bazillionaire. All you have to do is be, what's the word? Generous?
Yeah, generous.
With what you do have.
Yep.
And, it, you know, there's a Yiddish word, mensch. It means like to be a mensch is to take care of.
Yes.
To want to spend, to want to lavish, and so you lavish the best you can.
Yeah, and right, and you know what? A lot of it comes from the desire, Laurie. I got to a point where I wanted to take care of this woman going forward, all the women that I'm with. I want an element of me taking care of them. Whereas before, I did not want to, not that I didn't want to take care of them. I didn't want to, I do it in a different way. My attitude about it is different. It's more along the lines of there is a real wonderful sense of love and compassion and caring that I as a man can protect you in some ways, take care of you in some ways,
mm-hmm.
create this beautiful container for you as a woman and for us in the relationship. And that's a really big topic. And it's a very big generalization, but
look, what you're saying is about, I say all the time in Tantra, you know, build a temple,
yes.
build her, build the goddess a temple and the goddess will appear.
Bingo. Bingo.
So that's it. I mean, I used to tell women if they were sitting, they were at a party or went out, or they were sitting in a bar or they, you know, were at the beach or whatever, and they met a man. The man said, you know, may I take you out? She would have to say, build me a temple.
to which, if I really wanted to go out with a woman, I'd say, you got it, honey.
Exactly. I think men have the T chromosome temple. All right, well, listen, we're out of time, so I want to give people your website again. It's muscleheart.com, muscle,
yes.
Like the muscles in your body, muscleheart.com. I want to thank you, Clint Piatelli, for being my guest today and shedding light on your own growth and your vulnerability, like where you came from and where you are now. And I think it delivers a really good message to men about being romantic.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's needed and necessary, especially now.
Thank you, Laurie.
Especially now.
I love being on the show. Thank you so much for the opportunity to express myself, as always.
You're so welcome. Well, everybody, please tune in next time when my guest will be...
Three successful matchmakers who want to tell you about how to meet your mate.
Please tune in to Sex and Happiness. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-